Okay. I need you to help me out with my message this morning, and you're going to do so. I want you to tell me, name an influential, not just an influential, but the most influential Christian leader alive in the world today. The most, in your opinion, I'll help you out there, the most influential Christian leader alive today. And we can even focus it to North America if that is helpful.
Billy Graham.
Sorry? The Pope, yes. Any other thoughts? Can't get higher than the Pope? I'm not sure. Alright, so, imagine if you will, it is Sunday morning, it's a quarter after ten, because that's a good time to be arriving at church at Argyle Road Baptist Church. And you, dressed all fine and your happy family with you, looking forward to coming to church, arrive at church to discover the Pope. He's outside of his Pope-mobile. He is walking up the path with you. And you happen to meet at the intersection to come up the path, and he speaks to you. What a wonderful thing. Isn't it? The Pope is talking. Now, you know who he is, but he has no idea who you are. And so naturally, you would expect in a friendly meeting like that, arriving at church here at Argyle Road Baptist Church on a Sunday morning, to exchange some pleasantries. Hi, my name is Ryan. Good to meet you. Oh, you're the Pope. Well, yes, I know. Am I allowed to shake your hand? That'd be great. Good to meet you. You know, so this is your family. Yes, it is my family. Oh, what do you do here? And conversation would go something like that, right? You would imagine some sort of conversation where the Pope is maybe he's humoring you, I don't know, but trying to get to know who you are and ask some simple questions in that way. Now, imagine how you would respond and react if the first words out of the Pope's mouth were, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were a believer?" Come again. I'm Ryan. No, I don't care who you are. Did you receive the Holy... I see you're coming to church, so you must be a believer. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Yeah. That's the scene that Luke is recording in Acts chapter 19. Paul is newly arrived to Ephesus. Paul is the Pope of the new Christian church. I mean, he's not, don't quote me on that one. I'm stretching things a little bit with it. But Paul has arrived, and he is the forerunner of the church growing. And he's come to Ephesus to bring the gospel. And he's run into this group of people. Now, Luke mentions there's 12 men. There's likely more than 12 people there, but he just mentions 12 men. And the first thing Paul does, he walks up and says, "Hey, how you doing?" No, he first up and says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, there's a couple of responses that those believers could give. And you've probably thought of them. It's a yes or no question, right? So there's two answers. You could say yes. They could have said yes. Great conversation goes on. Fantastic. How's things at the church? Wonderful. Where can I find a good meal? And they would carry on. Or you can say no, which is what they did. But they didn't say no as in, "I'm not a believer. Why are you even talking to me? I don't understand the question you're asking me. Who should I be believing in?" They say, "No, we never heard of the Holy Spirit." They did not deny that they were not believers. They did not deny that they were Christians. They said, "We never heard of the Holy Spirit." Now someone, somewhere in their world in Ephesus, it wasn't Paul, but someone else, perhaps it was Apollos, perhaps it was someone, who knows, has come along and has told these men, these people, about baptism, about believing, but they never told them about the Holy Spirit. Somebody needs to go back to evangelism school. Because you can't talk about believing in Jesus Christ. And you can't talk about having a faith, baptism, without including the Holy Spirit in there. Because in John, Jesus promises, when I leave, God will send the Spirit, a counselor who will guide you through all of life. And so these fine men, believing as Christians, don't have a clue who the Holy Spirit is. I don't think Paul was expecting that response. I think Paul was expecting them to say, why, yes. Yes, we do. Because Paul is going to Ephesus. He's looking for Christians. He's looking for where the church is meeting so he can encourage them. And if he doesn't find any, then he goes to the temple and he starts preaching. That's kind of his idea. That's what he does. And so he then, I think he gets taken back a bit and says, well, hang on a second. You say you're a believer. You've never heard of the Holy Spirit. So whose baptism did you receive? Now, there's a leap that Paul has made that perhaps we would need to fill in the blanks a little bit. Somewhere, Paul has gone from, did you receive the Holy Spirit, to understanding that these people were, in fact, baptized with water as adults, with full knowledge of what's going on, like a Baptist, but didn't receive the Holy Spirit. So Paul is making that assumption, and I think it's a fair assumption. And says, so what baptism did you receive? Well, they know the baptism they received. So we received John's baptism. And in Paul's, well, not our world and society, we would go, John's baptism? John baptized, and Jesus was there, and there was a dove from heaven, and it was, as we read in Scripture, in their world, at their time, John's baptism would have been very familiar. They would have known about the water idea. They might not have known about the Holy Spirit. For in Mark chapter 1, and we also find it in Luke chapter 3 as well, John is in the River Jordan, the Baptist, John the Baptist, not John the Apostle. John the Baptist, he's in the River Jordan, he's got his camel hair on, he's got his pots of honey behind him, he's and his locust sandwich over there, and he's calling people to repent in the river. He says, you nasty, moronic Israelite people, you're completely missing the point of whatever's going on here. Now you have to note and remember, John is the first prophet that the Israelites have seen for quite a long time, hundreds of years. And so of course they're going to listen to what he's saying. And he's in the river and he says, you all need to repent. You need to come down, you need to make amends for what you're doing, but you need to remember that Jesus is coming after me, who is more important than I am, who will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit. But the people coming down to the river were just getting wet. They were saying, this is some fire insurance. This is good enough for me. I'm going to come down here. I'm going to get wet. Shump, up we go. I may even be truly 100% sorry for what I've done, but I don't know why I'm sorry or to whom I should be believing in or who it is that I should be sorry to. Because at this point, Jesus has not entered the scene. Jesus hasn't begun his ministry. Jesus hasn't been baptized yet. Jesus hasn't gone on his healing. He certainly hasn't been to the cross. For all anybody knows, Jesus is a 30-year-old guy hanging out in Nazareth building wooden blocks. But John starts this baptism thing. And these 12 men in Ephesus received John's baptism. A baptism of repentance. Not a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can spend a lot of time in this passage in Acts, and we could be here till well into the afternoon. I hope you brought lunch. And explore baptism and explore all those sorts of things. But I want to explore this morning the question of the Holy Spirit. Because here are some men who are baptized as believers, but don't understand the Holy Spirit and his work in and through that. So here you are. You're standing outside our Agaro Baptist Church, and the Pope has asked you, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became a believer? Now you have two answers. You can answer yes, or you can answer no. Now if you answer no, my guess is that for most of you who would answer no. You're not going to say, but I was baptized and I received John's baptism. That we're not going to probably get there. We're just saying, no, I don't, I'm just walking by the church. I'm not actually going in. Sorry, carry on. But if you answer yes, it brings me to some questions that I want you to wrestle with. And I want you to think about as we go through. The primary question being is, if you received the Holy Spirit when you were a believer, the next question then that I would ask is, how do you know? How do you know that you have received the Holy Spirit? Now, some churches and some believers will tell you that if you have received the Holy Spirit, then you will have spoken in tongues. Have you heard that before? Yes? In fact, I've been familiar with churches through people that I've known and gone through who have said the only way that you are in fact a Christian at all or saved in any way, shape, or form is if you speak in tongues. If you do not speak in tongues, that means you have not been saved and you're going, well, not in the right direction. That is wrong. That is not the indication. That is an indication. But it is not the only indication. So how do you know that you have received the Holy Spirit? So imagine our conversation goes a little bit further. And you've said to the Pope, why yes. Yes, I did receive the Holy Spirit. And the Pope says, fantastic. That's wonderful. I want to explore this more with you. How do you know? How would you respond? Well, because the pastor told me when I was baptized. Okay, good. Or because I read it in my Bible somewhere and it seemed like a good idea. Yeah, okay, good. Or doesn't everybody who becomes a believer get the Holy Spirit? Isn't that how that works? Yeah, okay, good. But how do you know? Where's the evidence? What does that look like? Where's the evidence? And that's what Paul's looking for. And that's what I want to call us to this morning. Where's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in you? Now, there's a few places that we can look at for evidence, and I want you to examine how that works for you. Now, there's the idea of spiritual gifts. Now, there are three places in Scripture that talk about spiritual gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 talks about a certain set of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11 talks about another section of spiritual gifts. And then Romans 12, 6 to 8 talks about yet a third kind of area of gifts. Now there's the, what's called the manifestation gifts. Now those are the weird looking, I'll be honest with you, those are the weird looking gifts. Those are the speaking in tongues, the prophesying, the interpretation of tongues, the stuff that doesn't normally happen to a person on a regular basis gifts. Those are the things that show up in a person's life that say, well, there's only God that can do that. And he's using you to do that. Now there's other gifts. There's the teaching and preaching gifts. And there's the third area is the helps sort of gifts, the gifts that of service, the gifts of helps. Those are kind of the three, and there's a lot in those gifts, and you can read those for yourselves. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about what each gift is. That's for you to sort out with the Lord. But what I do want to say in all three of those passages, and then there's a fourth one in later in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that kind of mushes them all together into one big list. But Paul tells us in all of those passages that every single believer receives gifts from the Holy Spirit. Every single believer receives a gift from the Holy Spirit. So, if you're looking at it and you're wondering, say, how do I know if I've received the Holy Spirit? The first answer and evidence is, I have a gift. And if I have a gift, then I should be using that. I would be able to recognize that. I have the gift of prophecy, and here's where I've been doing that. I can show that. So you respond to the Pope, and you say, yes, This is how, because I've received gifts, spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. Fantastic, the Pope says. Great, which ones? How have you been using them? What is it? I'd love to hear about that. He's excited about what you're doing. I don't know. I don't know what my gifts are. That was me for the longest time. There's a lot of things that I'm good at doing. There's a lot of things that I'm, I'm just lucky, naturally good at stuff, but I would never have qualified them as gifts. I would never have looked at that as a gift. I'm just good at it for whatever reason. And other people, are better at other things than I am, but I'm good at so many things. And so I would never have said, these are my gifts. And I would have answered that question. I don't know. I don't know what my gifts are. I need help to figure that out. I need help to sort through what that means. So there's a few ways that we can look at that you can find out for yourself. I encourage you to do that. Find out, if you are at all curious, what are my gifts? Or do I have more gifts than what I think I know? Use some tools to find it out. An easy way for some. It's a difficult way for me because I don't like tests, but you can do what's called a spiritual gift inventory. And these are a series of questions that you rate in various ways, 1 to 5, or answer the best of 4 options or whatever sort of thing, that after answering like 100 questions, there's a scale or a graph or something like that that points out that you are more inclined or have a strong leaning towards these particular gifts. I don't do well on those because I think there's always a right answer and a wrong answer, and I want to give the right answer. And so I don't give the right true answer, I give what I think the quiz is looking for as the right answer, which ends up being the wrong answer. And you can see how I get confused out of a spiritual gifts inventory. But they are a very helpful tool to use. Find one. Maybe do some work on that. Do some discovering. I did one that was called the 3 Colors of Ministry. It's a fantastic tool. And it expands the gifts into music and a few other things like that. Really quite a broad range. And I went through it and I came out with one and said, music there. And I thought, it's a talent. I don't know if it's a spiritual gift. And so I went to the pastor I was working with at the time, Frank Jeske, and I said, Frank, I'm confused by this piece here. Well, how does this work out? And he says, Ryan, let me ask you. Do you enjoy music? Well, yes, I do enjoy music. Can you hear when it's wrong? Yeah. Do you like to hear it when it's right? Do you understand how that works? Well, I can't read music, Frank. Doesn't matter. Inside of you, do you sense the depth of music? Does it stir you? Does it move you? Yeah. I'll go say, now you're getting some understanding, right? And other ways and other areas that go on. Now, sometimes an inventory isn't a helpful thing. As I said, I try to cheat on those, and it doesn't make it very helpful. We need people to help us with that. I would encourage you, talk to your friends. Talk to people who know you well. Talk to someone who, as a mature Christian, you respect greatly and say, I don't know what my gifts are. I know I have them, I just don't know what they are, and I'm not using them, or maybe I am using them, I just don't know about it. What do you think are my gifts? And let that person speak into your life, to answer that question for you. Now maybe, perhaps, you're still a little bit unsure about whether the Holy Spirit is really acting and alive in you through spiritual gifts. Or perhaps maybe you are fortunate enough to have one of those gifts that really is difficult to nail down. Shows up just on rare occasion. Perhaps your spiritual gift is the interpretation of tongues. And you happen to sit amongst a group of people who don't speak in tongues very often. It's difficult to exercise that gift in that way. There are other evidences of the Holy Spirit active and alive in your life. Galatians chapter 5, Paul gives us a list. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. We're familiar with the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. There we go. What a great list, eh? Galatians chapter 5, this wonderful list of the fruits of the Spirit. Let me tell you, folks, if those are the things that are evidence from your life, if that's what comes out of your living, if when people meet you say, wow, this person is the most loving, gentle, kindness, goodness, goodest, oh, that's a bad word. I make words up. You know me. You know, language isn't my spiritual gift. And, you know, if you're evidence in that, people are seeing that the Holy Spirit is working in you. What a wonderful thing. And I'm not just saying, you know, the normal kindness that good people would bring about, but the kindness that goes above and beyond a person's self. That stretches beyond boundaries, that goes beyond what is society says is expected. That's God acting in you, the Holy Spirit being evidenced in your life and world. That's what the Pope is looking to hear when he asks you the question. That's what Paul was looking for when he asked those men. Now imagine if they would have said yes. We've got the Holy Spirit oozing out of us all over the place. Paul would have said, fantastic. What does it look like? And they would have said, it looks like this. And we're teaching here, and we're healing here, and we're doing this, and we're good over here, and we're loving these people and patient. Paul would say, fantastic. But they didn't, because they never heard of the Holy Spirit. But God, we know. Jesus, we know. He's come, he's gone, he's coming back. The Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity, the God that is with us daily, showing us the way, reminding us, holding us to account. And I know, because I have been there, I know that some of you sit Sunday morning and say, I have nothing to give. I don't have any talents, I don't have any abilities. I come and I believe, but I have nothing special about me. And I want to tell you that is so wrong. If you believe, the Holy Spirit has things for you that will be evidenced. What it takes is the courage to find it, and then the courage to go and do it. And God will bless you in mighty, mighty ways. So this morning, we have John's baptism. It's a baptism of getting wet. John's baptism, Paul says, is pointing towards Jesus, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So I ask you this morning, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Is your faith just got you wet on the outside? Or is it a faith that's got you soaked all the way through? Changed mind, body, soul, spirit to the core of your being. And if that is so, what is the Holy Spirit wanting you to do with that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father,